Welcome back in. It's hour number two of Three Man Front. Pat Smith, Landrum Roberts, John Saber, Conrad Van Order with you until 12 noon. Then the Matt McLaren Show will come in right behind us. Spent a lot of time talking about the transfer portal. Record number of players over the first 2 days of this cycle. Over 740 players are in the transfer portal. Five Florida Gators have gone in this morning. Also in college football, it appears that Jeff Brohm, he is close to signing a contract to be the next head football coach at Louisville. That would be a six-year deal, $36 million. A name that I haven't seen anything written, but I'm just throwing it out there.
Okay.
A name that I would keep your eye on for that Purdue job is Jim Leonard, who it's kind of odd how last night it had appeared that he was going to stay on Luke Fickell's staff, right?
Right.
He was going to be the DC at Wisconsin. He was the interim head coach. Many people believe that they were just going to elevate him to the job, and then Luke Fickell's wife has been negotiating behind the scenes to get her husband the job, and that's what happened. So Leonard announced last night that he will coach in the bowl game, but after that, he's out. So do you get a feeling that he kind of knew that by him announcing that, that his services potentially could be open? Because I'm telling you, I know that he's got a defensive background, right?
He does.
But my goodness, he knows the Big Ten.
Well, he does know the Big Ten. I don't know if I was really that surprised in the fact that Luke Fickell thought enough of him to want to keep him around. I just think that would be a really tough spot, especially after you believe that you're a serious candidate for the job. And I don't know what he was told by administration, but it seemed like he was going to be the front runner guy, especially coming in and what he was able to do on an interim basis. Mm-hmm. You got that team to buy into you. You instilled things that, as a head coach, even though you were an interim, you were the head coach, and then you're going to have somebody else and work for them. Just seemed like that would have just been too awkward and too weird of a fit. But no, you're right. If you start connecting the dots, and a lot of times where there's smoke, there's fire, we see things like this happen, it could be. I'll throw out a name that we're talking about. He's still not coaching anybody. I mean, Dan Mullen. What a Purdue swung at a Dan Mullen. And you think about offensive style and what they like to do there to kind of make up for, I don't know, they're kind of that. How would you describe Purdue? Because you don't think of Purdue. Like, we think about characteristically the traits of certain programs. I think Iowa, I think boring, and I think tight ends.
I tell you, and I know it's not fair, but when you say the words Penn State or Purdue, I think of black cleats.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Which means just straight up hard nose in the trench warfare,
right,
type of football. That's what I think. Maybe,
well,
it's
Wisconsin,
maybe
I think
school.
About big offensive line,
yeah,
and nothing super flashy.
They're going to run the ball and they're going to run it down your throat.
Right. But Purdue, I see five wide receivers.
See, it's changed.
I do think black cleats, like you. But then I also think about the quarterbacks that they've had.
Gary Danielson, Drew Brees.
I was leaving Danielson out, but yeah, Drew Brees. They've had some pretty good ones.
Bob Greasy.
Kyle Orton.
Didn't Greasy play there?
Greasy?
Bob.
Oh, okay. I was thinking Brian.
The dad. The son played at Michigan.
That's correct.
I think the dad played at Purdue. Could be wrong.
Was I wrong on Kyle Orton?
No. You're
okay.
Right.
Okay. Just making sure.
No, I'm just questioning now my Bob Greasy.
I'm looking it up myself because
I'm looking at Bob
Greasy. I don't really know. I know Brian, he did play at Michigan. It is Wednesday. That means it's the midweek matchup coming up tonight, 6 to 8, myself and Matt McLaren, Conrad Van Order at Soho Social. Come and join us there in the social room, or if you want to get by early, you can do that. They got the half-off happy hour, 3 to 6, half-off the apps, half-off the drinks, or you can go to Soho Standard. But then make sure you drop by and say hello to me and Matt. Tonight, midweek matchup, Soho Social right there in the square.
I was right.
Homewood.
Purdue.
Okay, good.
So,
well, usually so are.
Bob Greasy did play at Purdue. So you got Greasy.
Yeah.
You got Danielson.
Mm-hmm.
Drew Brees.
Right.
Kyle Orton.
Yeah, and the quarterback whisperer coming in after all of that, Dan Mullen.
Or you go get Garrett Riley, who won the Broyles Award.
Yeah. We got some very interesting texts coming in, by the way. Very interesting texts. One of them from our buddy John Mack, the Fighting Texas Aggie. He's putting this out there. And I'll say this. John Mack, he's given us some nuggets. And I don't know how he's affiliated with the Fighting Texas Aggies. No, he went to school there. But he's saying Garrett Riley, OC at TCU, he will be the next Texas A&M offensive coordinator.
Hmm.
This is the same John Mack that said Will Anderson would be a bust. So take that with the
That is true.
He did win the Nagurski yesterday, by the way.
Twice.
Defensive player of the year. Two years in a row.
I didn't say he was right on everything. He has given us a few little Texas A&M nuggets, and he's also convinced that JoJo Earl is going to be a Texas A&M. So you pick and choose, right? Well, we pick this guy every single week. He is one of the voices on the Crimson Tide Sports Network. It is Chris Stewart, and he's presented by our friends at Craneworks.
Lift it, load it, grade it, grind it, move it, haul it, rig it, dig it, Craneworks, Rentalworks, yeah! The big dog's got it.
Crimson Tide Network's Chris Stewart on Three Man Front is brought to you by Craneworks. Lift it, buy it, rent it. The big dog's got it. And now, Chris Stewart.
Chris joins us on the Bud Light Hotline. Mr. Stewart, how are you today?
Man, I am great. Just talking to Stay Bear about this wonderful, winter weather we're dealing with right now. So it's great. Excited about going to Houston Saturday, where, again, right there in the Christmas spirit, it'll be about 83 degrees.
And the humidity will, be 130%, something like that?
Yes, another reason to enjoy basketball. And the as long as the tornado's not hitting you while you're on the air in the Georgia Dome, it's usually great weather conditions during a basketball game.
Yeah, so. For sure. And we're going to talk about basketball, and that's a big trip. We know what happened inside of Coleman Coliseum last year against Houston, and that'll be a lot of fun, another big test for this Alabama basketball team. But football, we do get the college football playoff rankings. Nick Saban politicking, as he should, for his team. I did make the argument, if you base just eye test Ohio State and Alabama, I think Alabama should have been in. A lot of people disagreeing with that sentiment. Where are you, Chris? And you usually shoot us straight. Well, you always shoot us straight. Yeah. But where are you? Your gut and just take everything and throw it aside. Where did you think with the two resumes?
Yeah, I'm probably no different from y'all. I'm getting texts leading up to all of the announcement. What are you hearing? What do you think? And I said for 2 days, I'm not going to be shocked either way, because I would have been. You can make the argument on either side, two losses or two losses, but I would have not felt the least bit bad about Alabama getting the bid over Ohio State, because I think there's a difference in losing on the final play of the game at two places that were as tough as Knoxville and Baton Rouge were on those days and where those teams were at those times. There's a big difference in getting waxed by 20-plus on your own field to your arch rival on the final week of the regular season when they're playing their backup quarterback. It's just different. So I could have easily made the argument that Alabama was a more worthy number four seed than Ohio State. That being said, I'm not the least bit shocked that they went the route they did.
Talking to Chris Stewart from Crimson Tide Sports Network, one of the voices of the Alabama Crimson Tide, joins us here on Three Man Front. So the last couple of days, the transfer portal has dominated the conversation in our business in regards to who's going, who's coming, all that kind of fun stuff. The names that you have heard so far, and all these names that have gone into the portal, they can come out of the portal and stay at Alabama. But for the time being, was there one particular name that you've heard so far that kind of made you go, that one's interesting. I did not see that one coming.
You know, just the names, so I guess JV and Cohen would be the one that surprised me. And again, there may be circumstances that would make it not the least bit shocking to the people that are in that football building. I haven't talked to anybody about it. But just as an observer, just like the rest of y'all, that probably did. Just because he's a guy who's been a starter, playing time's not an issue. Nothing that I've been given any indication of that would change that for next year. But I think it's just the time that we're in, guys, that, you know, it's so different for the players now. And like you said, you can opt in, if you will, and see what's out there, and then take your name back out if you want to. So not shocked by the number of guys and the fact that we're seeing this, not just at Alabama, but everywhere across the country. And I've also said there's nobody better equipped to manage that than the guy that's in charge in the football building.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamin's podcast wherever you listen.
Exclusive.
Chris Stewart, one of the voices of the Crimson Tide Sports Network, joining us courtesy of Craneworks, as he does every Wednesday, and he joins us on the Bud Light Hotline. And I talked about it this morning on Morning Jocks, and you think about with the circumstances and where we are in college football and how much it's changed, Chris, and now with the NIL, and you hear the stories about kids coming out of high school, and their first question is, how much? How much am I going to get?
Yeah.
Guys going in the portal. And now we're not just talking about guys that don't get playing time. We're talking about, you know, impact guys that a lot of coaches would like to retain and they can't. I look at Alabama, and without getting too specific, the quarterback situation with Bryce Young going to the NFL, it's going to look different. We know who's on the roster. We know who's coming in. But when you look back at Nick Saban's tenure, is, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but normally I would pencil in Alabama to be one of those four playoff teams the following year. But I think based on where we are with NIL, transfers, uncertainty, guys going out, who's going to come in, will they pay off? I think this is the most uncertain maybe I've felt about Alabama heading into a season as I have, I think, maybe ever in the Nick Saban tenure. Is that fair, and do you agree?
No, I understand, you know, for the reasons that you just put out there, I would agree, because you just don't know specifically who the players are going to be. Now, that being said, I have full confidence that when all of the dust settles, Alabama will have one of the four or five best rosters in the country when they kick off in the opener. Again, going off history with Nick Saban, I'm very comfortable that that'll be the case. I'm not comfortable with exactly who will be on the roster. I think that's more uncertain than ever. But the fact that Nick Saban's the one that's going to put that staff together, put that roster together, I would be foolish to be overly concerned that whatever that roster looks like, it'll still be one of the four best in the country, five best, when we start the season end of August, 1st of September, whichever it is.
In regards to that roster, a lot of people are wondering about the Sugar Bowl and who would be potentially available to play in that game. Nobody has said publicly who potentially is going to go ahead and opt out, get ready for the NFL draft, or whatever the case may be. You kind of gave some fans some hope when you were on this program last, when we asked you about Bryce Young waving to the crowd there at Bryant-Denny, if that had any significance. And, you know, just your opinion, but you thought that there still might be a chance that he would play maybe one more time. At that point, Alabama was not in the college football playoff or not. So has your line of thinking changed any in regards to his potential of wearing that jersey again?
No, it really hasn't. I haven't heard anything either way that would sway me to change what was just a gut feeling that I think he is going to play it to the end. You know, again, no, zero hard feelings for what this guy's laid on the line, and the same with Will or whoever opts to do whatever it is they choose to do. But that being said, I haven't had anything to change my mind that those guys would probably play in Alabama's final game, which we now know is going to be in New Orleans.
Chris Stewart, one of the voices of the Crimson Tide Sports Network, football and basketball, and he joins us on the Bud Light Hotline. Baseball, I should add, as well, and other specialty things he does. But he joins us on the Bud Light Hotline. So Alabama, Nate Oates, the Tide, they've been tested early. They passed those tests. They had to take on a Houston team. You guys, you mentioned you're going to be out there coming up this weekend. We know what happened inside of Coleman, one of the most exciting basketball games exciting and maybe not for a good reason after the game with a Houston coach and a couple of the players with a trash can inside of Coleman. But when you look at this Houston roster, you look at Nate Oates and what you've seen from Alabama so far, what's going to be some of the keys in this game? How does the Tide match up with that style, that pace they're going to see from Houston?
I think they'll be fine in terms of style and pace, and I think they're equipped to handle it. Now, here's the thing. You better be ready to go from the time the plane lands on Friday, because Houston will be ready. We know how good they are, first and foremost, but they are sitting there in a spot where even though there are a lot of new faces on the Alabama roster from last year, there are a lot of very familiar faces for Houston, and they remember. It's a new season, new day, get all of that, but they will want Alabama from the jump, and you better be able to handle that. The place is going to be packed. Number one in the country, ABC television for it, two top 10 teams, what happened last year. And look, here's a prime example of why I love college basketball as much as I do. Not more than any other sport, just it's one of the things I love about it. That's a massive game that we're talking about, and people in college hoops are going to be talking, have been talking about it all week long. It's going to have the national reach, and it will be an absolute war when those two teams tip off. And yet, regardless of the outcome, both will play another dozen-plus games that are probably approaching it in terms of intensity before we ever get to March and determine who the national champion is going to be. But that won't, the fact that the national championship won't be impacted by the outcome of that game will not impact the level of intensity and excitement that is experienced inside that building when they tip it off on Saturday afternoon. It's going to be fun.
Chris, a lot of fans are pivoting now to basketball because of the fact that the regular season is now over with in college football. Bowl game is still a couple weeks away. So for those fans that may not have tuned in, that exciting tournament out in the Pacific Northwest where Alabama did extremely well, and this is going to be their first opportunity looking at this team, kind of compare and contrast maybe last year's team, maybe the biggest differences you've seen so far this year from last year's squad. Not saying good or bad, but just they're different teams. Right. And if someone tuning in for the first time, what would be something that would really jump out to them on this team?
Here's what I would say. Even though Alabama lost a game against UConn, I think you're going to see, certainly by season's end and probably already now, a more consistent standard of play night in and night out from this group than last year's. Last year's team was really good at this point. Last year's team played great in beating a great Houston squad. But win or lose, this team, I think, is going to more closely resemble in a month the one that we've seen on their best nights so far this year. I think this group, because of the number of new pieces that are there, the fact that many of them are young, despite the fact that, you know, case of a Brandon Miller, he's one of the five best freshmen in the country and maybe one of the five best players in the country, period, regardless of classification. You're going to see, you've got such a deep quality roster that is playing at such a high level. They're bringing it defensively and on the glass every night. And on the nights they shoot it, just anywhere close to what they're capable of. And I'm not talking about beyond, you know, what their true identity is from a perimeter shooting team. When they shoot it anywhere close to who they are, this is going to be an incredibly tough team to take down. Alabama's got an opportunity on its best night to be as good as anybody in the country. And I'm really excited to see the game Saturday, and regardless of how it turns out, I'm excited to see what they're going to be as the season moves on.
Well said. It is Chris Stewart of the Crimson Tide Sports Network. He joins us weekly here on Three Man Front on Wednesdays. And Chris, you join us courtesy of our good friends at Craneworks.
Yeah, the folks in their Rental Works division has got a full line of rental equipment for any of your machinery needs. They've also got operators for every type of equipment as well. They supply the equipment you need, plus the man to do the job. You can learn more by going to craneworks.com to get a quote today.
Enjoy Houston, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much.
All right, bye-bye. Chris Stewart, Crimson Tide Sports Network. courtesy of Crane Works on the Bud Light Hotline, carefully brewed with a clean, crisp taste. When there's fun, Bud Light is there.
So there's still hope. You can tell. There's nothing official as of yet.
Right.
We all anticipate just thinking about what happened to someone that does not have as high a draft grade as Bryce Young, a Matt Corral.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to him in the Sugar Bowl?
It's true.
Last year.
It can happen.
A lot of people are anticipating that he and Will Anderson will not play, but there has been no official announcement as of yet on them or a Jahmyr Gibbs or a Branch or anybody else.
And worst case scenario, at least you're already a millionaire. You can take out an insurance policy. Or you could always tell you whoever's advising you, no, I'm going to play.
Could you imagine all the shows on ESPN, the talking heads going crazy in regards to, why is he doing this? Why is he playing? Maybe he just loves his teammates, wants to go out there one more time.
I'm just waiting for the day, and it's going to happen. It's going to happen, Pat, where we're going with NIL and how much these guys are making, because it's only going to increase unless there's some kind of legislation, which we don't see coming from Washington, D.C. One of these high-impact type guys that's going to be – his team is going to be playing in the college football playoff. And he is going to be a surefire first round, top pick. It's going to happen eventually where they say, nope, shutting it down. Do you agree? You think that's going to happen? People are like, no, they would never do it. Watch. It's going to happen. They're going to put millions of dollars, their future, if they've already got millions, why do they need to go and play in some meaningless, to them, semifinal game? Just waiting for it. And then the outcry.
Well, you've got an Ohio State wide receiver right now that all indications that he is healthy, that he could play against Georgia. But he is going to opt out.
Tweaked hamstring.
And he's going to go play, or he's going to get ready for the combine. But there was reports last night that he is healthy.
So
he could play.
So the reports that were sent from, I don't know if it was Ohio State, his PR people saying that Njigba still was not cleared or was not ready to go. That was just
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
That was spin. Because of what you would get and the backlash you would get.
Yeah.
And from him opting out.
Yeah.
Mm. That's all right. I don't think I'd want to play against Georgia anyways.
Brian Edwards.
It's going to go well.
Game of the year.
That's right. Take the dogs -6.5. Take them early.
Like you said.
Oh, I know. Gosh. We probably have.
But you got five questions?
I do. And we're going to explore the future of Deion Sanders.
Oh.
Should be fun.
Hmm. Prime time in the future. That's next on Three Man Front.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.